But, you know, when you think about people, I mean, there are people all over the world, and there's so many. They're all different kinds of people, various countries, races, backgrounds, personalities. There's so many different kinds of people, and yet we can take all people and put them in one of two groups, saved or lost. There are those that have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, and they have eternal life. We call those saved. Those who have rejected Jesus Christ, and they are separated. We call those lost. The Bible teaches in John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." He is that way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to come to the Father. All who trust in him have eternal life. All those who reject him are separated. See, oftentimes we call or refer to people as believers and unbelievers. Believers, those who have believed in Jesus Christ, those who have trusted him as Savior. And unbelievers, those who have rejected him, they have not believed that he indeed is their Savior, and they have not trusted in him. I want you to think first about unbeliever for just a second. Sometimes in the Bible, the unbeliever is called the natural man, the natural person. It comes from a Greek word, psuche, which is the word for soul. We get the psyche, we get the word psyche from it. It means the natural or the unbelieving person. Why is he called a natural person? It's because he is spiritually dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, 3 talk about the fact that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "The natural man does not understand the things of God." So sometimes the unbeliever is called a natural person. We think about a believer, on the other hand, we're called spiritual. Why? Because we are spiritually alive. The Bible says in Ephesians that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but he has made us alive and seated us in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, Jesus said, "You have to be born again, made spiritually alive." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the passage says, or the Bible says, that the spiritual man understands the Word of God and makes decisions based on and concerning the Word of God. So there's a contrast between the believer and the unbeliever, the spiritual and the natural. Now the reason we deal with this and bring this up this morning is because in this passage, in fact in verse 19, Jude describes the false teachers as being the natural ones, the unbelieving ones, the ones that do not have the Holy Spirit. That's why we deal with it. He uses the Greek word soulish, which means natural. And his point is, he wants to remind the believers that these false teachers are unbelievers, that they do not have the Spirit of God. In fact, verse 19 in the New American Standard translates it worldly, but it's the same word. The NIV translates it as the person who follows the natural instincts. The King James translates it as the sensual person. The whole idea is the Greek word there is the word for soul. It's the word for the natural man. It's the word for the unbeliever. Realize Jude is saying that no matter how convincing these false teachers may be, they are not believers. They are soulish people. So the warning is that we remember who these teachers are, and as we contend for the faith, as we stand for the truth of God's Word, realize that there are false teachers there. As we begin this morning and continue in our study, we're in the final section. You would think that a book that only has 25 verses, that it wouldn't take us very long to go through it, but it has taken us a long time because we're going verse by verse, section by section, and as we have realized, this book is full of truths and things that we can apply. Jude turns to the believer to encourage them, and in a sense, it turns to us to encourage us. To encourage us to stand for the truth of God's Word, to stand for the faith, to make application of the truths of God's Word. Hibbert, in his commentary, said, Jude moves from denouncing the false teachers to encouraging the faithful believers. Jude has spent a great deal of time dealing with false teachers. In fact, if you take the letter and you go all the way back to beginning about verse 5, all the way up to 17 where we are now, he's dealt with these false teachers. He's talked about their judgment. He's talked about what they do. But in a sense, this morning, he takes us all the way back to verse 3, where he told us in verse 3 that we need to earnestly contend for the faith. Well, how do we do that? How do we as believers contend for the faith, stand for the truth of God's Word? Well, he's going to give us three things, three key areas, three key exhortations. And if you want to, take out your outline. I think it's on green paper this morning. It's green. And we've gone all the way through. And if you look at your outline, we're in the very last section, section 6. And it's exhortation to the believers, verses 17 through 23. And I want you to look at it. There are three things: remember, react, and praise. Remember, there's a warning there, and he wants us to remember what the apostle said. He wants us to react, and as we get into those verses 20 through 23, it is to grow spiritually. He's going to give us five things to do. That's what we'll see next week. And then we end our study with the praise, verses 24 and 25, as we praise our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who keeps us secure. So there's a lot left in this letter, even though we've only got a few verses left. There's so much here. As we begin, I want you to realize a truth. And that is, false teachers are expected. Now we may look at it, we may say, you know, isn't it strange that you think that some people would actually come into the church and they would pretend to be believers and they would pretend to be leaders and they would teach things that are contrary to the Bible? We think, oh, that's hard to believe. Well, the truth is, that's expected. The apostles, we're going to find, wrote before, warned that there will be people come in who teach those kind of things. Jude says they're already here. But let me tell you, it would be expected that false teachers should come and pervert the truth of God's Word. Why? Because the Word of God is so important. The Word of God is the key. Jesus Christ said in John 17:17, the Word of God is truth. It is the truth. It's the most important thing that we'll ever have. God gave us His Word, and 1 Peter talks about that as a newborn babe desires milk, we should desire the milk of the Word. It is the most important thing that we have. It is God's written revelation to us. In 2 Timothy, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for us so that we can be mature and we can be ready to serve. The Word of God is the most valuable thing that every one of us have. So it makes sense that since it's so important, since it's the truth, it is inspired of God, it is His revelation for us, it is what we need so that we can grow, it makes sense that the enemy, Satan, the enemy of God and man, would naturally try to distort the Word of God using false teachers. Paul says that they teach the doctrine of demons. It makes sense that if he was going to mess anything up, he would try to mess up the Word of God. And there are people who follow others who do not teach the Bible. We should expect this. We should expect that some would come and change the message of salvation to works rather than faith. Telling people, you know, there are people who, maybe even this morning, there are some of you who may have been taught all of your life that you do good things and you can get to God. If you just do enough of them, or if you just keep doing it. That's contrary to the Scripture. The Bible says it's by grace you're saved through faith. You trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone and you have eternal life. But the false teachers change the message of salvation to a message of works rather than a message of faith. They change the message of the Christian life to a set of rules rather than a walk of faith. They change the issue of authority to themselves. And we've talked about it, that the false teachers will say, listen, I'm the authority. I've got new revelation from God. I've got something to tell you, rather than the truth of the Word of God. In the Old Testament, false prophets gave false messages. In the New Testament, false teachers give false teaching. Jude says we've got to contend for the faith. We've got to stand. And he begins, this morning we're going to look at the first of the three things that he gives. And this first one is, we need to remember something. Look at verse 17. He says, but you, beloved, you ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ that they were saying to you. In the last time, they're going to be mockers, falling after their own ungodly lust. These are the ones who cause division, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. Jude says, you better remember what the apostles have taught us before. And the apostles wrote the Bible, the New Testament. He says, remember what they said, that in the last time they're going to come mockers. That's the false teachers. They're going to live after their own lust. They're going to bring division within the body. And they're not even believers. They don't have the Spirit. Look how he starts. He says, but you, beloved. And he's writing to the believers. And he calls them beloved. Loved by God, loved by Jude, loved by fellow believers. See, that's the kind of the key. And the key characteristic of us, that we who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we're supposed to love one another. In fact, Jesus said, they will know you belong to me by your love for one another. We should call each other beloved, because we should love each other. Notice what he says, but you, beloved, you ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you should remember. Now, by the way, in the Greek, this is a command. He literally says you need to start remembering the words of the apostles. Start remembering the warning that they gave. Now, this is not something new. They already had this before. We've got the Word of God. Jude is writing to him and saying, listen, you need to remember what the apostles taught. You need to bring back to your mind, your memory, the things that they said. I want you to notice it says, but you ought to remember the words. And the way that is written in the Greek, he's talking about the individual words. He's talking about the exact message. He said you need to remember the exact message that these apostles told you. That in the last time there would be these mockers come in, these people who are false teachers, who live in their own flesh, pervert the truth, divide the body. I want you to look at two things. He says, but you, beloved, you ought to remember the words that were spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two things, the apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are the apostles? The apostles are men who were sent forth with authority from Jesus Christ. They were chosen by Him. They were sent out with the authority to establish the church. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. When Paul came and John came and Peter came, and when they spoke, it was the same as if Jesus Christ was speaking. Jesus Christ sent them out with authority. And when Paul wrote those 13 letters of the New Testament, they are the Word of God. And when John wrote his 5, they are the Word of God. And when Peter wrote his 2, it is the Word of God. These were apostles. Don't let anybody tell you today that they're an apostle. I know some people, I've seen them on TV. They say they're apostles. They are not apostles. They do not have the authority. The authority is the Word of God. Don't let any man take the authority. That's a false teacher. You know it immediately when somebody takes the authority away from the Scripture. It is the only authority, not any human being. He says you need to remember what these apostles taught. Powerful men. In 2 Peter, Peter writes that these men were moved by the Holy Spirit as they wrote the Word of God. In the early days of the church, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says they met together for the apostles' doctrine. They met together to study and to be taught the teaching of the apostles, which is the Word of God. You ever realize the cost that was involved for these men being apostles? They gave their lives for Jesus Christ. See, oftentimes we think, well, wouldn't it have been great to be an apostle? And that when you speak, you say, hey, you got to listen to me because I'm from God and what I'm giving out is from God. It'd be great. But according to tradition as a whole, every one of these men died for their faith. Listen to this. Matthew was martyred in Ethiopia. Mark died at Alexandria. They dragged him through the city. John was put in some boiling oil, did not die, so they took him out and put him on the island of Patmos, thought he would die out there. God gave him the final book of Revelation while he was there. Peter was crucified in Rome upside down. James, the brother of John, had his head cut off in Jerusalem. James, the other apostle, who was called James the Less, was thrown off the top of the temple, and when he landed on the ground, they went over and beat him with clubs until he was dead. Andrew was bound to a cross where he preached until he died. Thomas was put to death in the East Indies. And Paul, as we know, and we just studied him in Sunday school, after tortures and persecutions, he was beheaded in Rome by the Emperor Nero. These people died for their faith. They died as representatives of Jesus Christ, giving direct revelation that the Word of God. And that's why Jude says, listen, you better listen carefully. Remember what the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ wrote. Remember what they said. In the last time, there are mockers coming. They were men used by God to give us the Word of God. There's a second thing that I wanted you to look at. Not only that it says the apostles, but the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His title. That's the full title. In fact, when you see it, the word Lord literally means sovereign one. It means the one who controls all things. You hear people say today, well, you need to make Jesus Lord. You don't make Jesus Lord. He's Lord of everything anyway. He's Lord of heaven and earth. He's the King of kings, Lord of lords. You don't make Him anything. He already is everything. He is the sovereign ruler of all things. He is the Creator God. He spoke and it all came into being. And by Jesus Christ, He holds it all together. That's who He is. The name Jesus literally means Savior. And the name Christ, or the title Christ, means the Anointed One of God. What we have is the One from God who is the Sovereign God and Savior. That's who He is. So He says, beloved, we need to remember, we need to keep on remembering the message, the words that were spoken beforehand that by the apostles, those guys sent forth authority by the Sovereign God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What were they saying? What was the message? Look at verse 18. That they were saying to you, in the last times there'll be mockers, falling after their own ungodly lust. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. They said in the last times there are mockers coming. In the last time there are the false teachers. There will be mockers. Now before we look at the mockers and the last times and all that, did these apostles give us this message? Did they warn us, so to speak? I want you to think about three of the most famous ones, Paul, Peter, and John. Listen to this. Don't turn there. I'm just going to read to you. This is Paul writing in Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 30. Listen to what he says. He says, I know that after my departure, wolves will come in among you. They will not spare the flock. From among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things, which means false things, drawing away disciples after themselves. That's false teachers. He also writes in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he says this, but the Spirit tells us that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the doctrines of demons. Peter says almost the same thing. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Listen. He says, but false prophets arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will bring in secretly destructive heresies. Secretly. They never come front with this. Even denying the Master, Jesus Christ, who bought them, they bring swift destruction upon themselves. Peter says, they're coming. Just like there were false prophets, there are false teachers that slip in, and they bring in teaching that is contrary to the Word of God. Here's John. In his book, 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, he says this, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, now listen carefully, and now is already in the world. John says false teachers are here. So there's warnings by Paul and Peter and John that there would be false teachers coming to the church, denying Jesus Christ and distorting the gospel message. Jude says they are here now. It says last time. It says in the last time there'll be mockers. People say, well, when is the last time? People say, hey, don't you think we're in the last time? Well, the truth is this. Biblically speaking, the last time is any time after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, the writer says, in past times God spoke through us, to us through His prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Any time after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the last days. So if somebody said, do you think we're in the last days? Yeah, we are. We've been in them for almost 2,000 years. It is the last time. The next event, as you know, and we talked about it last week, is Jesus Christ will descend with the voice, the shout of God, the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with Him. It's called the rapture, the snatching away. That's the very next event. Could happen any second. We saw that last week. He says, in these last time, there will be mockers. Mockers. You know what mocker means? It means to make fun of, but literally the Greek word means to dance around. Like dancing around making fun of. That's what it meant. Mockers. That's the false teachers. And they do mock. You know what they say? They say that salvation is not by faith. Not just by faith. That's what they say. I have people make fun of it. There are people who make fun of Countryside because we stand for the truth that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and whoever will trust in Him and Him alone has eternal life. There are people who have actually said to me, JB, you're making it too easy for people to go to heaven. You can't just tell them they got to believe. That's what the Bible says. The mockers say, no, you can't, it's too easy. It's got to be works. You've got to keep on doing this. Whether you got to do it to get saved, you got to do it to stay saved. They mock the truth of the grace of God for salvation. They say the Bible. They mock the Bible. They say it's not perfect. It's not true. We believe that the Bible is inerrant, that it's perfect. It is God's revelation for us. There are a lot of people who don't believe that. There's a pastor in this town that I did a wedding with about 5 years ago. And he laughed at me the whole time. He'd say, you going to bring your inerrant Bible when you come? I'd say, I don't know another kind. But he doesn't believe that the Bible is true. He believes it's man-made and there's some good things in there and you can take it out, but it's not revelation from God. He's a mocker. He's a false teacher. And that's what they do. In the last days, the apostles said they're going to be false teachers. They're going to be mockers. They mock Jesus Christ. They say Jesus Christ is not the God. He might be a God. He might be a good example. He might be a good teacher, but He's not God. I talked to a family the other day. Somebody came and they were talking. And this person said to them, well, you know that Jesus Christ is not, not God, God. I mean, He's a God, but He's not the God. He's not Jehovah God. Yes, He is. Zechariah 12, verse 6. They will look on Jehovah who they pierced. The only one that every time Jehovah's ever been pierced is Jesus Christ. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the eternal God. He's always existed. Don't let anybody change that. Don't let any mocker come along and say this is not God's Word, that salvation is more than faith, and that Jesus Christ is not God. That's what they do. They do it sometimes very subtly. Sometimes they do it very open. You have to listen carefully. 2 Peter says, and because of them, the false teachers, the truth will be maligned, which means to be made fun of. And there are people who change and make fun of salvation by faith, the Bible being God's Word and Jesus Christ being God. They're false teachers. They're in our churches, by the way. Listen carefully what people say. He goes on to say that not only that, in the last time there'll be mockers. Listen, they will follow after their own ungodly lust. That means they live for the flesh. We've seen this over and over throughout this letter that Paul says that Jude says the false teachers always fulfill their own lust. Back in verse 4, he says they live a fleshly life. In verse 8, he says they live a fleshly life and reject authority. In verse 16, it says they follow after their own lust. Now, in verse 18, same thing. They follow after their own ungodly lust, as they call it. Now, he tells us another thing as we get into verse 19. He reminds us what these false teachers are like and what they do. Verse 19 says, these are the ones who cause divisions. The NIV says these are the ones that divide you. The King James says these are the ones that separate themselves. The idea there is they cause division within the body. Their plan is to pull off people and divide the body of Christ, to get people to follow them and cause divisions within the body. Listen to this. This is again from Acts chapter 20, verse 30. Paul writes and he says this, there will be men rise up speaking perverse things, trying to draw away disciples after themselves. That's what false teachers do. The authority is not the Word of God. The authority is them. And what they want to do is get you to follow them. We have seen it historically. We see it even now. Back in verse 4, it says they have slipped into the church. You know, a question raises, why in the world would anybody ever follow a false teacher? I think there are a couple of reasons. The first one is that people don't know the Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says that they come with a form of godliness. They look godly. They look like they're Christians. They act like they're Christians. Their message is not right, but they try to fit in. And there are people that follow them because they don't know the Bible. And when they teach things that are contrary to the Scripture, they don't know to say, wait a minute. Philippians says just the opposite of that. They don't know that. And they pull and they fall. That's why we must study to show ourselves approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. We've got to study the Bible. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We must know the Scripture so that when there is something that is taught that is contrary to the Bible, we know it. Listen, you can see those guys. They're not teaching the Bible. They're talking maybe about the Bible, but they're not teaching the Bible. If you teach it through verse by verse, passage by passage, you can't get very far away from it. But if you read a verse and then just talk about other things, you can say anything you want to say. Be careful. Their plan is to draw people that people don't know. There's another reason why some people follow false teachers. And that is because they're looking for something new and something different. 2 Timothy 4 says, for a time will come when they will not endure the sound teaching. They want to have their ears tickled, which means they want some new idea, something new, something different. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. There's some people who, when you say, tell me the old story, they say, I don't want the old story. I'm tired of the old story. I want something new. And they follow people that will give them something new, whether it's some spaceship behind a comet or Jesus Christ being a God, not the God. And that God is inside all of us. And that you can become a God. Or that you need this new revelation to understand this revelation. They are out there, and they are dangerous. So, it says they divide you. People don't know the Scripture. People want something new. Jude ends this little section by making sure that these believers realize that these false teachers are not believers. Notice what he says. He says, they are worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. It's two ways of saying the same thing. He says, what they have, they're the natural man. What they don't have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He says they're worldly minded. Now that's the translation, the New American Standard translate that Greek word, psuche, which is the soulish. They're the natural man. They're the ones 1 Corinthians 2 says the natural man does not understand the things of God because he's an unbeliever. He also says that they are devoid of the Spirit. It means they do not have the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you this. Every one of us in this room, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says living inside of you right now is the Holy Spirit. He comes to indwell in you. Jude is making the point saying these guys who are false teachers, they do not have the Holy Spirit. They're not Christians. They have never trusted in Jesus Christ. We know that if you have trusted in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit inside you. Romans 8:9 says if you do not have the Spirit, you're not a child of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what, don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Every one of us in this room who have trusted in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. So watch out, he says. They cause division. They're unbelievers. They're soulish people. They do not have the Holy Spirit. Powerful passage. He says, first of all, I want you to remember something. He says, you need to remember the exact message that the apostles have already given to you, those sent by authority by the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what they said. They said in the last time, any time after Jesus died and rose again, in that last time, there are going to be mockers, false teachers, people who come in and mock the Bible, mock salvation, mock Jesus Christ. They're false teachers. He says they live after their own lust, and it'll be evident. We already saw back in verse 13 that eventually the lifestyle of these false teachers will be known. He says what they try to do is divide you. They try to pull off people to follow them because people don't know the Bible and people want something new. He says, listen, be careful. They are not believers. They're natural people. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Some very powerful information. And as we continue with this warning, as we look next week, he's going to give us 5 ways, in a sense, to protect ourselves. 5 ways to keep growing as a believer so we won't follow those false teachers, so we'll be able to recognize them. Jude exhorts believers, stand for the truth. Remember the warning of the apostles. In the last time, mockers come, making fun of God and the Word. They live after the flesh. They cause divisions. They are not believers. They don't have the Holy Spirit. As we close, let me give you an application, and that is we must be ready to recognize the false teachers. I mean, first of all, let's think about it. We're in the last time. In the last time, they're coming. Well, they're here. There are false teachers. Sometimes we don't want to think about it. We don't want to think that some people in our community, on the radio, the TV, the books, that they're false teachers, but they are. They are everywhere. So be careful. Recognize them. So the way we do that is we got to know the Word of God. You've got to study the Scripture. It is true that on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, our 4:12s, we always try to teach the Scripture. But the best way for you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ is you study the Scripture on your own as well. You dig the Word of God. You rightly divide it, as 2 Timothy talks about, so that you can understand it. And when there is a false teacher, there's some kind of message that you hear and you go, wait a minute, that is not right. And you can be ready. What are some things to look for? Mockers. They make fun of God, His Word, and the authority. They say salvation is not by grace through faith. They say that Jesus Christ is not God. They say that the Word of God is not perfect and true and inerrant. Watch those people. They become the authority. They live by the flesh, and somewhere down the line, it's going to be evident. They cause division. Watch them. I remember when I was back in Mississippi, before I ever went to seminary, when I was at Mississippi State, we had a guy come into our church, an older guy, and he began to get some, we had a lot of college students in that church, and he began to get some of them in Bible studies, and he was, you know, he told them that he was a great teacher and that he would like to teach them, and some of them followed him, and they got off, and before you knew it, they stopped coming to our church. And the pastor went and talked to this guy, and this guy didn't believe the Bible. He didn't believe that. But he was teaching this to all these college kids, and some of them just went right with him. He pulled them right out of a good church. They followed him. Be careful. That's what these guys do. They pull off disciples for themselves. Last but not least, they're not believers. They do not have the Holy Spirit. May we as believers study the Word of God and make application in our lives so that we can recognize the false teachers and that we can stand for the truth of God's Word against these false teachers those who make fun of God and His Word and seek to pull others after them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. It is so perfect. May we recognize that there are false teachers. We are in the last days. May we know the Word of God. Lord, I pray that every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ will be diligently studying the Word of God, rightly dividing the truth so we can stand. Lord, we recognize that there are mockers. There are people who do not hold to the truths of God's Word, especially dealing with salvation and the Christian life and who Jesus Christ is and the Bible. May we recognize that. May we look at how they live. May we realize that they're trying to cause divisions and that they are not believers. Lord, may we stand for the truth, rightly dividing it, living righteously and godly in this present age, standing strong for the things and the truths of Your Word, helping teach others so that they can in turn teach others the truth as well. Lord, may we remember the words of the apostles that in these last times there are going to be false teachers living for themselves, bringing division, and they're not believers. May we recognize them and stand for truth. We ask this in Christ's name.